back to reality again. Back to reality again. I'll read a poem about me this time. Bargain. This is a pair of handmade shoes, awkward and lovely, like the maiden hidden behind the stand. Gold peonies bloom unabashed on red corduroy tops. White soles are made of layered cloth, pasted on the door with flour, a slow air dry in the moonlight. Stitches lined up neatly like terracotta soldiers on battlegrounds. This is a pair of shoes I've been seeking for years. The craft my grandma tried to pass on before I left home for good. Without trying them on, I know they would comfort my calloused soles. Let me run like a whirlwind, make me feel like a sword drawn out of its sheath. And we start the bargain. 10, she says, for the sake of fate that brought you to this desert town. 5, I say without thinking, a trick from my American partner. Good joke, big sister, she laughs, deep creases flashing across her frostbitten face. I blush for no reason. 6 then, I say, avoiding her hands that bring back grandma, her flickering shadow on the wall threading a needle. Come on, sister, have some respect. Okay, 7, can't go up anymore. Respect has to be mutual, don't you think? Barely enough to pay for the material, sis, her voice low, wet like the drizzle. No mercy, I repeat the mantra drilled into my brain. Peddlers are good at arousing sympathies. That's how they make a living. 8 then, the highest I can offer. You peasants are getting greedier day by day. She raises her hands, 10 knotted roots, 10 question marks of childhood and wisdom. Do you know how many nights I stayed up to stitch the soles? Do you see my fingers? Do you see my eyes? See my little brother waiting for a bowl of noodles my shoes could buy? His hunger does not lie. My callus does not lie. We do not lie. I walk. I'm not practicing the walk away tactic that works like magic. I'm running from the mirror of her eyes. Stubborn girl, I murmur to myself. That's just a game, just a game. She chases, thrusts the shoes in my hands. You won, miss, take them for 9. What's 9 yuan to you? $1.20? And what's a yuan? Less than a dime. Would you even bother to pick it up from the street? I put away my victory in the trunk, never give it a second thought, until I'm pulled out of the line at Minneapolis Custom. Maggot fingers, prodding socks, underwear, wrapped gifts, and there it is, my bargain, red and loud like thunderclaps. You saved a damn dime, fool, but lost your soul. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to do an audible based on the more personal poem that you just read. So, and this is a longer thing. My dad died this year, 85 years old. He lost his 2 older brothers to diphtheria when he was about 9 or 10, I forget exactly. And never kind of was the same after that. So this goes into a little bit of his personal mythology and my own, and it's called 9 Sonnets for Pop, and it's from my book, A Time Before Slaughter. Pop's in the hospital. A slight stroke, we figure, but in allopathic terms, expressive aphasia. Speech difficult to initiate. Non-fluent, labored, and halting. Deficient intonation, stress patterns, and language reduced to disjointed words. And poor sentence construction. Sounds like poetry, you think? While Josefina arrives from Yakima, trunk full of handmade corn tortillas that heat more than a large can of salsa can take with a two-hour ride over the pass. 2, Resurrection Hospital, where the Sox could not sweep the Cubs today, adding insult to a speech-addled father we've always known as fluent. In his condemnation of all things, like Republicans, FDR gave me Social Security and LBJ Medicare, but these assholes, then you try to change the subject back to baseball. He was even guarded last year where the Sox won it all, saying they'll probably get swept in California when they did the sweeping. That picture is still my screensaver. 3, no, you think their lab experiment is your father, and you know the drill, drugs, surgery, or radiation. They're not going to use radiation, Ma says, and don't lecture. And Linda says, he'll only listen to you, and you can only say, I've known him longer. But to see him break down and cry, we're all going to die, and death is no failure, but who dies on their own terms without the Kevorkian treatment? Thank you, but no, Jack, I can't hear a click. 4, there are kids in the lot cooling off from July in the early global warming era. Someone has to rescue the frog. But in Darfur, death, plants, and animals are migrating towards the poles as we set this old spaceship on fire. Meantime, tortillas, a dip in the Stuck River, tender feet, don't like the feel of rocks, and pop breaks down when the tongue won't cooperate with the brain. Such perception. The Chinese will take us over without firing a shot. 5, nations are permanent, as July, you want to tell him, but remain silent that he gets it and no one has to break it down for him. But the breakdown of the arteries and the brain parts that depend on them means the breakdown of, not our patriarch, but Pop nonetheless, crying at the hospital, and some part of that emotionally blocked bloodline bubbles up into consciousness and you'll end up being the last. Too smart for I told you so, contending with your own fire. 6, too much fire in the liver, the heart, the blood, fire in that old goat, fire never replenished as in the way of the old ones, fire coming back to bite its master, fire never studied, allowed to lick where it chooses, all the lack of gratitude, fanning that ancient blue flame gone awry as if you knew how the Creator intended it. Pop, you don't have no language for it. It must settle for a language older than words, and all we can do now is count tears. 7, he was a Capricorn, by the way, so the old gold line refers to his astrology. 7, take a stubborn motherfucker and hope for grace. Stain the prayer rug or ply your spiritual habits down by the river. And maybe the water bodhisattva has an answer, and maybe it's in a tongue you can negotiate, or maybe you just get a gist, or a gust of wind liberates you from your spit and you learn how to take agony and be a shopkeeper about it, selling enough to keep yourself in bread, bananas, and beer. 8, all his lessons seem to come up now, the ones about what you can get away with and that you should show up on time to work, the lesson of rising early and joining the union and paying your dues long into retirement, called Solidarność, how a red flag rises out of blood, but when the blood is undone by fire or begins to lose its way, and that eloquent man reduced to incoherence. 9, you want to think about his stain, how he had the sense to bring more fire to a bloodline, and more important, heart. When his brothers died, when he was not yet 10, he did what he had to do to survive, and you got that. Survival, like a lifetime of clenched teeth and a way out of wilderness via helicopters over the canyon and a tuning of fix that fire into a mode where somehow there's a gracias in all of your grief. Thanks.
So I'll read a couple more. I'm going to start with a line from Eddie Cochran that's actually correct. Each shadow I pass is my looking glass. Or maybe it's every shadow. Anyway, I'm just completely obsessed with Eddie Cochran right now, so I want to get every syllable right. Every shadow I pass is my looking glass. That's it. I had to sing it. Okay. Eddie Cochran, yay. This is called I Wish I With All. I wish I, with all of the guns in my screaming belly, could leave my body. I hover instead, a helicopter pilot medic. Diamond spotted, I'm held captive by necklaces dancing, hung from wind-blown summer branches. Closing in, it's all spinning within content's lips. The shine, the flight, my escape from me to you. I keep forgetting coke-addled limbs go deep in rain's tree trunk shadows, gold-toothed, windy, and spitting out lynchings. Blood rain sparkling so pretty on leaves. The yawning bark's trunk, see the rot inside, is bored with remembering necks choked to protect Eden from the snake. Keep filling heaven till it pops from so much self. The splatter is rain. The knowledge of gold and silver streaming by the body. I can only open my mouth enough to contain a living world. So why throw the body in? Let it contain you. Thanks. Property. America conjures the grinding of its teeth into powder for alley deals gone bad. The flapping, if not substance, then flash. Gums take flight under waves reflecting rainbow tunneled icicles just below the surface of your drowned oil-reserved dream home. Fossil fuel, blood, or freezing eyes, they all break from the larger ice to drift away alone. The bloodshot seeing deep below speaks the bubbles boiling the primordial gray brain throbbing in a puddle outside heaven's gate. Landlocked or coastal, these padlocked and chain-hearted jigsaw puzzle states form a picture of leaky hull tears from the metal of machine-flagged bodies owned by weapons factories. Rusty flagships from closed mines. The opposite? Openness. Slavery of the 5D moon and speech to vibration, shore of breath, solar ship, inner fire. Thanks.
Construction. Beyond a land notice sign, I see a young mother framing wood around a patch of ground where cement will someday lay. Tools appear curious in her hand. Her little boy plays beside her in the dirt. I stop and ask, why are you working construction? She smiles and wipes the sweat from her forehead. I want to know how men build a home. Lifeguard. Despite the signs warning swimmers of danger, the treacherous strip of sand remained the most popular beach around. Something about the solemn horizon, the intricate sand, with the temperament of the water drew everyone. Because of this unexplainable pull, people ignored the signs warning them not to swim. Many drowned. When asked if they worried about drowning, swimmers answered either that it wouldn't happen to them or that they didn't care. Everyone kept swimming. One morning, a makeshift tower appeared at the center of the beach where a lifeguard sat. He stayed there, day and night, always ready. The lifeguard couldn't save everyone, but no one cared. The beach was better with him on duty. At a time when no one needed the lifeguard, a girl with strawberry hair broke free of her mother's grip and approached the tower. She asked the lifeguard why people kept swimming in the dangerous waters and why the lifeguard kept saving them. The lifeguard explained how important it is for people to be in the water, that for all the danger of death, to stay on shore constituted a kind of death itself. The lifeguard helped the ones that the water overwhelmed. The day came when the lifeguard had to save the girl with strawberry hair. She fought hard against him. The lifeguard held tight her arm and battled to bring her to shore. Once on the beach, the girl's mother wrapped her arms around her daughter to keep the girl from getting back into the water. No one noticed that the lifeguard didn't return to the tower. He lay face down in the sand as the water slowly pulled him away.